The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, go to your Gmail, and I sent you. This is a major announcement that was made yesterday that you need to read to the people.
Is it about Lightning?
It is not about Lightning, but it is about something, one of the most historic events in our history.
Do you need me to read it as?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I figured. All right. This is a statement.
This is a statement.
By the 45th President of the United States.
Of America.
Yeah. Many people are asking, so I'll give it to you now. It's 100% true. While playing with the legendary golfer Ernie Els, winner of four major, approximately 72 other tournaments throughout the world, Gene Sowers, winner of the senior U.S. Open, Ken Duke, and Mike Goods, both excellent tour players. I made a hole-in-one. Okay, I want to start over. Now that I know what it is, because I know he's building up. Many people are asking, now I got to redo it. Many people are asking, and I'll give it to you now, it's 100% true. While playing with the legendary golfer Ernie Els, winner of four majors and approximately 72 other tournaments throughout the world, Gene Sowers, winner of the senior U.S. Open, Ken Duke, Mike Goods, both excellent tour players, I made a hole-in-one. It took place at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach, Florida, on the 7th hole, which was playing 181 yards into a slight wind. I hit a 5-iron, which sailed magnificently into a rather strong wind with approximately 5 feet of cut, whereupon it bounced twice and then went clank into the hole. These great tour players noticed it before I did, because their eyes are slightly better, but only that one hole only, their swings weren't. Anyway, there's a lot of chatter about it. Quite exciting. People everywhere seem to be asking for the facts. Playing with that group of wonderful, talented players was a lot of fun. The match was Ernie and me, no strokes, against Gene, Mike, and Ken. I won't tell you who won because I'm a very modest individual, and you will then say I was bragging, and I don't like people who brag. So good.
And that's all I got. That's all it says there.
Magnificent 5-iron.
Magnificent.
Lot of wind. I hit into it, and I honestly hit a cut shot into the wind. You have to do that. When the wind is up, you got to cut it low. Sometimes I've got a 5 that I can hit 190, 5-iron. Unbelievable. Really good shot. Ernie Els saw it. A lot of people are asking, did Ernie see it? A lot of people want to know the facts. It was a great shot. Magnificent shot. Ernie Els won four majors. And on this hole, I was better. I had several shots, strokes less than Ernie Els. I love how he said, no strokes. The match is Ernie and me with no strokes. against Mike, Gene, and Ken. Mm-mm. I won't tell you who won because I'm a very modest individual, and you'll then say I was bragging, and I don't like people who brag. Joe Biden.
Joe's like, he did.
Joe's like, I don't brag.
Listen, Lance did not embellish at all. That was the exact.
This is exactly
the
what
exact
he said.
Quote. He did not embellish one word.
Many people are asking about this magnificent five iron into a slight win. Now that is, I'm changing the words around.
All the words
are the same words.
Same words.
He did say magnificent. I hit a five iron which sailed magnificently into a rather strong wind.
That's so funny. What would it sound like if Dell's dad got a hole in one?
I'm thinking, should I? No, I can't unless Dell's here.
No, I'm not sure you should do Dell's dad.
That means Dell can't. Unless you're out. If you're out, Dell might be here. If I'm out, Dell might be here.
Not asking him to be Rookie of the Year, even though that would be lit. But just being serviceable is just fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm for.
Looking at our lineup, we still have one of the deepest hitting lineups in the game. Maybe we switch from being a defensive team to being an offensive juggernaut. I would say this. I think it'll be disappointing, and I think the fan base will be PO'd if he's just serviceable. I do. Now, he is a rookie, and there's going to be growing pains, and they're going to catch up to him. Even if he has a hot start, they are going to catch up to him, and he's going to have his slumps, and he's going to have – but so did Carlos. I mean, now, Carlos was Rookie of the Year. Carlos, you know – let me ask you this. Did Carlos live up to the number one overall pick?
That's a tricky question because I think it involves not every number one pick. So this isn't basketball. So in baseball, not every one pick is built the same. They don't necessarily turn into stars. The hit rate,
you don't even make it to the league.
Yeah,
if you're
the hit
a Pell
rate for number one is not great. So, or not like it is in maybe some of the other sports. I would say, did he live up to the one? You know, statistically, no. He did not from a statistical standpoint when you look at some of the other guys in that class. However, I do feel like you have to. So when I say statistically, what are people going to look at? They'll look at OPS. I mean, his WAR ended up being very good, but you can look at from an analytics based perspective. You could make an argument actually for him because analytics will take into place his defensive performance as well. But I think the injuries and the inconsistency make it hard to say. For sure, yes. But when you look at him in certain playoff series and pretty much every year defensively, you have arguments that can counter that somewhat. So, I don't know. I feel like he did, but that's a recency bias for what we saw. And really, frankly, how was Carlos in the World Series?
Bad.
He was bad.
He was bad.
I'm sitting here looking at my Fitbit and I'm saying, it's Carlos' time. It's my time, because that's what I remember. But that wasn't even a World Series.
Why are you showing off how poor you are?
Because some of us have to deal with the. We don't have.
Why the hell is he wearing
the money that you have? So some of us have to be frugal.
But
some of us have to be frugal. We can't wear Golden Goose. What are those shoes?
Fitbit.
What are those shoes that you're wearing today? They're just shoes. They're nothing. No, they're not. Is it an Italian designer? Are your tennis shoes made by an Italian designer? Yes or no?
I don't know. My wife bought them. I have no idea.
They're Versace's.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Who's the other one with the slides? RJ, who's the other one? People wear the slides. I'm forgetting. Not Versace.
It just had a movie about them.
Yeah.
Gucci.
Oh, yeah, Gucci. There it is. Well, they had a movie about Gianni Versace. By the way, the show on Versace was phenomenal. The actor won a Golden Globe or whatever. It was on FX about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. You definitely should watch out.
I didn't see that.
The Death of Gianni Versace or something. Assassination of Gianni Versace. Really good. You should check it out. Yeah, you should check it out.
I got to check it out.
So you got Gucci on now today.
No, I don't have Gucci.
Yes, you do. I know. I recognize the little Italian thing you got there.
Listen.
You're ragging on me about my Fitbit because I don't have Gucci's on.
No, that's not why. It's because it's a little embarrassing. That's all.
You're saying it's a poverty step tracker? just trying to say.
Can't you get an apple? Can't you go?
I don't want an apple. I'm not trying to be.
You just started art. You said Gucci.
How about a guy
look
called
at art?
In, GT called in like, John, you're a true man of the people with your Gucci's. What? With your Gucci's and your Golden Goose shoes on.
I don't have Golden Goose shoes on.
Not today.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So, my wife likes to buy expensive. What do you want me to do?
I thought your money's your money.
I only got a
money.
Couple pairs in this closet. I got to wear them. What am I going
to tell her?
Do?
I'm not wearing these Gucci's. What? I'm a grown-ass man.
They're good. They're actually good shoes. So, 713-780-3776. Mario wants to get in here about the ad. Let's get him in here quickly before we take a break. Hey, Mario.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to talk about Odorizzi. I don't think he should be a number five starter, not because he's better, but because I would want to avoid two back-to-back on the fifth and then turn right around on the one heavy bullpen days, you know, with JV going first. Also on the batting lineup, I think it'd be if you take a second to think about it, I think you could see some logic to it, but I would switch Altuve and Bregman, 1 and 3, and then I would switch Tucker and Brantley on the lineup. Last thing, I'll ask you guys, have you heard anything new about the letter from about the Yankees? Thank you.
Nothing. It's supposed to be here within 2 weeks of whenever that was, was about a week ago or over a week ago.
More than a week ago.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be out.
If they try to weasel out of this,
again, they're not going to weasel out. I'm just afraid we're not really going to see the letter. That it's going to be. There's going to be some kind of. It was lost.
You were right on it already. It's just not as egregious.
Yeah, it's not egregious.
That's what they'll say.
Not nearly
as
egregious.
That's what they're going to say.
That's what they're going to say.
They're already prepared. Of course
they're. Egregious is the. This is the only time that you ever hear the word egregious is when you're talking about the Astro scandal. It's not nearly as egregious. That's just. Nobody did anything as horrific. And, you know, world-shattering is our Houston Astros. So there's that. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you had something from The Athletic that you want to talk about on the other side.
On
the other side.
Yeah, there's a pitcher that we talked about Odorizzi. We talked about Christian Javier. There's another pitcher that Jake Kaplan wrote about that James Click said, this is a guy that we're hoping forces our hand this year.
Yeah. He's looking pretty good already, too. So we'll do that on the other side. But first, let's talk about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf, who is awesome, awesome, awesome. Look, if you're looking for the best way to sell your vehicle, there is only one way to do it, and that's GimmeTheVin.com. If you're looking for, John Clay Wolf is just awesome. If he is spectacular in what he does. He is not making as much money on the vehicles because he's giving you more. If he gives you more and then goes to auction, listen, here's the business. I want to buy your car for as little as possible. Then I want to get as much for it as I can at auction. Well, here's what John Clay Wolf does. He gives you as much as he possibly can, so you make that money, and then he makes less at the auction. It's just how he does it. He's done over $1 billion in cars buying last year. That is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. And with this car market today, if you're looking to sell it, John Clay Wolf is here for you. GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. He'll know you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 because you're in Houston, but just tell him anyway. GimmeTheVin.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Athletic actually had Jake Odorizzi versus Christian Javier. Odorizzi is going to win the spot. Christian Javier... Apparently, Dusty announced yesterday that Christian Javier would be going to the bullpen. Jake Odorizzi isn't even going to be needed much in the first couple, 3 weeks of the season. So we'll see what happens there. He's probably going to have to come out of the pen early on, too. But you were talking about the Hunter Brown situation. Hunter Brown is a guy who is the Astros are really, really high on. That has got a chance to be, and you know what? There's plenty of attrition in the rotation and in the bullpen.
Yeah, he's Hunter Brown is Keith Law, who handled ESPN's minor league baseball stuff. Their rankings of the organizations.
he has Hunter Brown as the number three pitcher in the organization for the Astros. And I'm sorry, number three player in the behind Corey Lee and Jeremy Pena. And we know Corey Lee is on the come up, and then Jeremy Pena is going to be the starting shortstop for the Astros. But Whitley is number five. And number five is Whitley.
Well, I don't even know list. How. Get him off the list.
Get him off the list is exactly right. Although I have seen him throwing lately. I have seen him actually, he's throwing a baseball. Brown's coming off a season in which he had a 4.04 ERA and 103rd innings. Between A and Triple A, he struck out 11.8 batters per nine, but walked 4.5 per nine. He was actually better against left-handed batters than he was against right-handed batters. The Astros drafted Brown in the fifth round in 2019. Brown's fastball averaged 95 miles an hour last season and topped out at 99. So that's good. I mean, to work at 95 is definitely good. That's a that's a good power arm if he can crank it up another mile and a half to 96 and a half, 97, you're in great shape. But if you can touch 99 with your highest fastball, that's perfectly acceptable. But apparently James Click is hoping, he said, I hope he forces our hand in that regard, in terms of potentially being with the team. He said he certainly has all the ingredients to help us out at the big league level sooner rather than later. He has the same things that he has some things he needs to work on, and we've discussed that with him. Hopefully he forces our hand, and that's something we have to make room for sooner rather than later. He's not going to make, obviously, the opening day roster. I don't see that happening. However, with the roster expanding, I could see him at some point. They may play some games with when to bring him up and when not to. But if you've got a power arm, and if you're locked in on Christian Javier being a reliever, it's not crazy to think that as soon as there's an injury, A, we don't know what's up with Lance McCullers other than we know he's not starting the season with the Astros. And I don't have a lot of confidence in Jake Odorizzi over the long. Yeah, he may have some good games here and there. But if you got three good games out of every five from Jake Odorizzi, would you take it? And do the Astros take it? Is that good to pitch well 60% of your starts? I don't feel like that's. I mean, if you pitch well in 60%, you may not even be a 500 pitcher. Because you need things to go well in those 60%.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really good in the 60% of your starts, I think you take it. You get three. You get 30 starts, and you're gonna get. Yeah,
pitching well is a relative term,
right?
For Jake Odorizzi, it's different than
Justin Verlander. I'll take it right now.
Yeah, but it's a different
pitching well in 60%.
But well is different than for Justin Verlander. Their definitions are different,
right? But Justin Verlander pitches well, you win more than a lot.
Yeah, with Odorizzi, you still need offense.
Yeah,
still need offense. Yep. But my point is, if Odorizzi doesn't pitch well, I could see them dipping down and going to Hunter Brown. I could see them going to the Space Cowboys.
Would you take right now a 4-2-0 out of Odorizzi? I would.
Why you try to make it a 420?
I don't know. It's nothing to do with weed or anything.
Just asking.
No.
Yeah, I probably would. That's
That's
not sad. It's realistic.
Yeah.
It's realistic.
That's
would I take a 4-2-0 out of my fifth starter?
Absolutely, I would. Yeah,
yeah, I guess so. Would you take it out of Christian Javier?
Now this article says in most rotations, Odorizzi is the third starter. With the Astros, he's fifth or sixth.
In most rotations,
yeah.
Are they working off some old Jake Odorizzi stuff?
I don't know what they're talking about. Well, don't forget, he was an All Star one time. Remember?
So what?
Yeah, he was an All Star. So
when was he an All Star?
So the Astros have Monday, April 11th off. They have Thursday, April 14th off. Then they have Thursday, April 21st off. And then they start playing for, then they're going to need five for sure. And then, actually, they go a stretch, I think, where they play 26 out of 27 days. Or it's maybe it's even worse than that, 30 out of 31. I read somewhere it was just ridiculous how long they play. Well, they might need a six man rotation. So
I don't think the six man.
And
catch
by the way, you've also got again attrition with injuries.
I just don't think six man's going to catch on, and I'll tell you why. At some point, major league owners and general managers are going to be like, "Why are we pitching a lesser player but paying pitchers more than ever before? It's not going to make sense for them to pay more and use less." And when I say use less, it's one thing to watch innings, etc., or maybe give an additional day of rest. I don't, and maybe that's all you're talking about with a six-man rotation. It's not a six-man rotation. You're just plopping in an additional starter to give everyone one additional day. Maybe that's all it is. I don't see a six-man rotation kicking in. I don't, especially. I think there's a better chance of having openers and being more consistent with five innings of work or being or having less work. I don't see less starts being a consistent thing.
I don't know.
Paying what you pay.
I don't know, especially with the arm troubles that everybody's getting and how long, you know, how much they're pitching as young kids and whatnot. There was a time when no one knew what a reliever was. There was a time when four-man rotation, they were like, five-man rotation?
You're right.
Why would you do five-man rotation?
I would bet you that 80, and that might be low, 80% of these issues have nothing to do with Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It's all to do with youth baseball. It's all to do with travel teams. Yeah. It's all to do with the amount of usage and not putting a baseball down. Tom, you know what Tom House
college
says?
Usage.
You know what Tom House says? Tom House says when baseball season's over, put the ball down.
Yeah.
You don't pick up a baseball because your arm needs to heal. It needs to get better. Go play another sport. That's Tom House saying that. Jake Odorizzi, I mean, so yeah, from an ERA standpoint, since 2017, 4.14, 4.87. 3 points. I can't.
Raheel wants us.
You're taking a picture of your shoe.
No, Raheel wants to see him. Good Lord. He loves sneakers.
3.68, 6.59, 4.70 on Sugarland, 4.21 with Houston. Yeah, would I take 4.20? Yeah. I'd take 4.20.
I'd take 4.20. 826 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Still ahead. Paul Biancardi is going to join us at 9:30. We got that happening a little bit later in the show. But we've also got more. Let's get back to Rockets basketball. How about the Rockets last night playing some really, really sound basketball? And we might actually have something. We might actually have something in our guy, Jalen Green.
This is an exciting time right now
really
as a Rocket fan.
And, Paul, we'll get you in. I know you want to talk about the Astros rotation as well. Anybody else wants to get in, 713-780-3776.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A perfect night of Rockets basketball last night. Fun game, came down to the last shot. Rockets ended up losing, but Jalen Green played great. Kevin Porter Jr. played great. Josh Christopher played great. The only thing missing, Şengün wasn't great. They had, you know, and they've got a big guy in the middle that's going to be awfully difficult. A big, strong guy in the middle, which is going to be awfully difficult for Şengün. But the Rockets ended up losing, which is perfect. Jalen Green has been just steadily getting better and better. He's averaging 20.1 points, 3.4 assists this month. 20.1 points and 3.7 rebounds and 3.4 assists. Yeah, I don't know that you would want much more. He's playing as well as any rookie over these last couple of months. And that's, I guess, you know, it takes a little time. He's got his feet under him. He's playing. He's learning the league. He's learning what he can and can't do. So athletic. Kevin Porter Jr. talked about how athletic the both of them. Kevin Porter Jr. gave himself a little pat on the back. Let's hear from Kevin Porter Jr. again. For those of you who missed it early in the show, Kevin Porter Jr. talked about playing with Jalen Green and how athletic they both are.
Me and Jay, all season we've been just trying to feed off each other and, like you said, play off each other. And I feel like later on in the season we're starting to get how to play off each other because I never had someone as talented, young, and athletic, dynamic as he is. on my side before, and he probably never had someone like that on his side before. So we're just continuing to learn each other, and tonight it shows like what we are capable of being together as one when we're both on the floor.
Was he never had anybody like that? Is he talking about Şengün or Eric Gordon? I think he was talking about himself.
I think he was talking about him.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Listen,
KPJ was saying he's never had a guy like KPJ playing with him.
You know that?
That would be me. That is in KPJ. Yeah. By the way, are you familiar? We'll get to the phone calls, but this is a little chance to educate, right? Sometimes there's cultural phenomenons that you have to be educated on. We used to have a caller, Poindexter, who would call in and educate us about, like, bagback. Bagback, give me 50 feet. Well, what is bagback? He would call in and say, this is what's hot in the streets right now. With young people, and especially in basketball right now, only in basketball, there are some things going on right now. There are some new gestures that you need to know about. We're starting to see them. We've seen them. That's a slime. Yeah, you're doing the slime
okay.
there.
That's okay. That's
a slime. And but no, these are specific to basketball. And we will start to see them leak into football. That's the three-point thing that's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
No, but that's the three-point move.
That has to do with a strip club, by the way.
Yeah, that was something that happened for the Rockets, specifically with John Berry and those guys. Right. No, you see a lot of three-point goggles now. We see that. No, there's some very specific motions. Now, RJ, you're a big NBA fan, so I'm assuming you've seen this because these do play out in the NBA. We're seeing them play out in college. You saw them. The one that is most prevalent, and my son Mason does it to Sebastian when he plays him, is where you take your hand. Let's say you're touching somebody on the head. So let's say I'm
patting him on the head.
Now let's go all the way down. Keep going down, 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 and you're doing somebody. And RJ, when you get it all the way down to like by your knee, can you tell John what that's about?
You're a little baby.
Yeah.
Get him off me. He's too small.
Too small. It means little. It means little. You're too small. So if you dunk on somebody or even make a layup.
Did like Jalen do North that Gun, last night to Pirtle?
He did not, but somebody on the bench did this one. Here's another one. You tap and pat on the head. Have you seen that one yet?
A shot clock expired.
No, that's not a shot
that
clock.
That is for referees.
Yeah.
It is okay. For violation.
Well, they're cool too, though.
RJ, have referees you seen that cool one? RJ, too. Can you tell us what that one is?
Yeah, you got dunked on. You got boomed on. Yep. On the top of his head.
Yep.
I put that on the top of his head.
Oh, you put that on his head. What? How do you put the sign
of?
There's
also this one. There's also this one. John, describe what this one is.
That's nuts on the chin.
No?
Nope.
What am I doing? Baby. Sam Cassell.
Yes.
That's rocking the baby.
Well, there's this one.
Yeah, that's Bregman.
But I also see the rocking the baby as in, I believe it just means he's treating you, basically, you're a little baby. Like
a little baby.
Yeah,
just like this.
Treating you like a little baby. Yeah. These are all when you've scored on somebody, typically. But there's very specific ones. So you need to be looking. I saw that with North Carolina this weekend. You will see, or maybe it was Kansas, you will see these in the NCAA tournament. You'll see a lot of littles. A lot of littles. You're too small. You know, big men do this a lot.
They do that.
Or when you finish at the rim, it doesn't have to be a dunk, but if it is, or if you're a big man who, you know, jump hooks over another big man, you might give him a little.
Ooh.
You're too little. Joel Embiid has done it plenty. It shows up in the NBA a lot. But yesterday, when Jalen Green had his dunk on Pirtle, somebody on the bench, I just saw it very briefly.
Head he was
going, pop, pop, pop. Yeah. He's giving him the.
Yeah.
Because you did, as RJ said, you got.
Should be up. Like this.
What's that?
Got put stuff on your chin.
That doesn't have to be that aggressive.
Well.
And also, Dusty's right. Also, mossed. That's the other thing. When you do, you can tap your head. Kids, now my son does this in football. He wants me to throw the football right over Maddie's head so he can pick it, so he can scream at her that she got mossed. Mossed is a big deal on the football side.
Yeah, right.
In the basketball side, it you got dunked on. Right. In the football side, it you got mossed.
Mossed, absolutely.
When you moss somebody, you go over the top of them and pick it off their head.
Yep, yep. All right, let's get Paul in here. Let's talk about Astros pitching. What do you say, Paul?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was reading between the lines on James Click's comment about I hope he forces our hand. What that tells me is he's looking for a trade. And if you've got three good young pitchers, you've got some draft, so you've got some capital, some trade capital. And he's got Urquidy, he's got Garcia, and he's got Framber. I don't think they're going to deal Framber, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Urquidy or Garcia dealt for an equivalent hitter, maybe a center fielder, maybe a shortstop. But if Hunter Brown truly does force their hand, you've got some pretty darn good trade chips. And I know they always say, oh, don't trade a good young pitcher. But if you can get a good young hitter for him and maybe even a hammer reliever, which the team also needs, then I think you make that deal.
Can't they trade Odorizzi? They have to trade Urquidy or Garcia? Really? Now they got Urquidy and Garcia wrapped up for years at a low price. I don't see it. I just don't see it. If they were up against it now in arbitration or free agency, I could see it. But those guys have got a long way to go till they hit there, especially Garcia. So I ain't buying it. And Hunter Brown, I mean, this is what you're striving for, is a pitcher that can throw and you don't have to pay him. This is what every team is looking for.
And especially,
I mean, I mean, everybody thinks, I don't believe it. I am not in this category. He's cheap. He let Springer go. He let Correa go. He's just cheap. And that's not the case. But what a bonus if you can get the kind of performances that you can get out of Garcia and Odorizzi and Urquidy and Fromber at those prices. Forget about it. And Fromber just went. He was supposed to go to arbitration. They settled, but he's making next to nothing compared to his output.
I know.
He was your number one guy going into last year.
Well, this is why the players fought to get out of arbitration a year earlier,
yeah,
so they could get to the big money. But the money's all guaranteed.
And what did he get? 3-1? I think Fromber got 3-1. Are you kidding me?
Shocking.
Was going into last year, was your number one star.
When has it ever been higher than you expected? It's always way lower than we think it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's always like, wow, I would have expected this. You'd think Fromber would get $8
million. You would think?
You would think he'd get $8
million. For what
that
he
seems
does?
Reasonable
number
relative
two
to...
Number two starter?
Yeah, it seems very reasonable relative to the league price point. But no, I mean, it's the owners are going to hang on to, because once you hit free agency, it is a gold rush. Like, you're going to make so... Fromber's going to make so much money if he has a good year this year.
Right.
Or for a couple of years.
Well, he's still...
Fromber's still
got
a couple years away,
yeah,
right? Yeah, he's still a couple of years away.
Yeah. So
Fromber will be like a $25 million
Listen, if you're an owner of a baseball team, you're like, we ain't trading away cheap pitching.
No. That's why if you trade away a superstar, you want to trade for cheap, good pitching, because... You want young star under club control. That's so valuable.
That's so valuable.
So valuable.
Ronnie, let's see. He wants to talk about the Rockets and their picks. What do you say, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. I just want to tell you, and I'm not looking for any kind of sympathy or anything. I'm just saying, as a blind listener, I really appreciate it when you guys go into the nuts and bolts of analytics and stuff, because that's really about the only way I can figure out what's going on. In terms of the Rockets, I got two questions. You're talking about all the gestures and stuff that people are doing, and I have a what-if question. What if Calvin Murphy were playing in today's game? How would he intimidate people? Because he did a good job of doing it when he played. And my second question is, the lottery, the draft is going to come up. The Rockets are going to get a great pick. What do they need, and who can provide that need?
I think the Rockets need, well, it's kind of a loaded question, because the top guys are all going to be bigger.
Okay, who is your number one? If the Rockets get the number one overall pick, who do you take?
Jabari Smith.
You do?
Yep. Number two would probably be based on
who they
have. I
didn't like how he played that last game, but okay.
Based on who they have, I might go Holmgren too, and Banchero third.
Yeah.
Although Banchero, see, here's what I don't want. I don't want to have two bigs. Because Şengün can step out, which is good. You don't want to have too many cloggers, though. That's the reason the Rockets altered their lineup in the first place, is so that you kept the lane open for Jalen. That's a fundamental.
Well,
and Chet Holmgren can step out.
Yeah, I don't think he's a lane clogger at all. I think you might get lucky and get the fourth pick and take Ivy. And he might be the best player. I wasn't. Banchero had. He was okay at times. He wasn't great. Chet Holmgren is so skinny. I just don't know another guy.
Yeah, but who? Kevin, you know another guy.
Smith is the number one guy.
Yeah, Jabari Smith's the number one guy, but you do know there's the Chet Holmgren's. That's not a death knell in the league by any stretch.
Is
anymore.
Ivy a duplication of Jalen? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know if you can have enough speed. Boy, do you want to talk about a quick backcourt with those two?
I mean, right now, if you're the Rockets, what you need is you need a true – I think you need a true – I don't even say lead guard. I mean, you need someone who can be a primary ball handler who can shoot threes but doesn't have to get a shot all the time. Because you have to – you look at how the Rockets are – first thing you have to do is say, here are the guys we're going to move forward with. We see these guys on our team in the next 3 years. I think Jayshon Tate could be one of those guys. I think Martin could be one of those guys. Obviously, Şengün and Jalen Green are. We'll see about KPJ. I don't think that's going to be the case. You could use you could actually use Chet Holmgren, a guy who could step out from range and block shots, a rim protector, because you suck defensively. Guys are going to be getting to the basket. So if you had somebody who could rim protect a little bit, that would be a help. RJ, I know you're a big NBA fan. Are you a college basketball fan as well?
I mean, I watch here and there, like, not a lot. Once I know, like, the big high school guys and know where they're going to college, I may watch them, but I'm not solely, you know, like, not 24/7 into college basketball.
Well, now we have to be more into it because the Rockets, it used to be, who cared about college basketball? Rockets weren't going to be able to draft any of the players anyway because Daryl was either going to draft somebody and put them overseas and we'd never see them, or they weren't going to have a first-round pick. Now, not only do you have first-round picks, they're high first-round picks.
And by the way, Calvin Murphy, you asked about him before we go to break.
How would he intimidate? You just punch people. Same way as
I think it's a different game today.
He can't punch?
I don't know. He can't punch you now anymore.
Did you see Will Smith?
Yeah.
He slapped.
Did you see that they're convening the Oscar, the Academy? Well, the Academy
keep his award.
Is convening. Maybe, and then maybe not.
He'll keep his award. The question's going to be, I read an article
about
this
yesterday. Will they sanction him, not let him come to the next couple?
Right. Will they not? I think they won't. I think they will not let. They're going to make a stand, but they're not taking his award. But they're going to say, you can't come announce the, because he won. So you're supposed to announce the opposite category. So the lead actress in a lead role, whatever. Yeah. He's not going to be able to do
that. I think he'll be banned next year, maybe even a couple of years. That was unfortunate. Although they did get higher ratings, that's for sure.
Do you think he'll lose draft picks and be fined like the Astros?
No, I don't think it'll. I don't think he'll lose any draft.
They both were banging on. One was a face. One was a trash can.
Well, yeah. What? I don't think per se. I don't think they'll lose.
Was he just trying to signal who the winner was going to be to someone else who was live wagering it?
But I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
845 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 7-3-7-8-0-3-7 something. You guys are calling in today. We got more calls coming your way next.
Let's go,
people. Anybody wants in? Let's go. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loot and Raid Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. A lot of calls this morning. I don't know what the deal is. A lot of calls this morning. Alex got a question, then I got a question for you, Lance. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Just want to chime in on the Rockets draft. So we got the two picks, right? One's top 14 protected, however. So what I think we should do is, if able to, get Banchero. I think he's the most high ceiling in the draft. But I really want to talk about that second pick. I think if it falls, 15 through 20, we need to select a wing and preferably a shooting and perimeter defense wing. But I think if it falls outside that top 20, I think that we should trade back, move in next year, and then essentially we have too many mouths to feed right now and allow us to explore what we have with KJ. I know we've seen Tate, but, a few of our other younger guys as well, and allow them to keep getting that minute share. While we're still in the early stages of this rebuild. But wanted to see you guys' thoughts on that. I'm going to hang up. Appreciate the show, guys.
I think it's a really good phone call because he really hit on some key areas of the roster building and what they need. One thing I do want to One thing I do want to mention, though, is that Garuba is supposed to be that defender. That's one of the reasons they picked him up, is, and Josh Christopher. The first two picks were offensive guys, and Shingun and Jalen Green, the second two guys in the first round, Garuba, and, you know, he's not a factor this year. But Josh Christopher has had his moments. He's had his moments. I think one of the things
he looked a lot better than I thought he would.
Yeah, one of the things they talked about was that they hoped that Christopher and Garuba would be defenders. And I think that Christopher may end up being a guy that, when it's all said and done, he's looked at as a guy the Rockets kind of stole for being in the 20s, the 24th pick. But I am curious to see if Garuba takes that next, or takes a step at all next year and becomes maybe a little bit more of a factor, gets out on the court, is one of those defensive factors. If not, who cares? It's one of four draft picks. You just want to hit on at least two of them. You're going to hit on two, and it looks like you have a good chance of hitting on three. And so, man, you have three players who become core players. If you view Josh Christopher as a core player, then you can't.
I think he's a piece. I don't know about a core player.
Well, I'm saying one of the guys that you plan on building with in the future, that you see him in your long-term plans. You see him inside the window of Shingun and Jalen Green. Do you see him as being that guy? I think there's a chance that Josh Christopher is, like, is he here for a second contract?
Possibly.
Yeah, obviously it's possibly. You don't know.
Because I see him as a sixth or seventh guy, though.
Listen, they have two draft picks every – they're going to have, like, two draft picks for a lot of these years.
I see him as a sixth or seventh. I see him as a good scorer off the bench for a few years, yeah.
I don't think it's crazy that the Rockets could end up flipping picks. You know, one of the things, in every other year you have the Nets, you have an opportunity to flip picks with the Nets. I don't think it's crazy that by this year you have their pick in 2022. Is it crazy? Probably not 2023, but by 2025, I think it's very reasonable that the Rockets could be choosing to take the Nets pick, that they're going to be a team better than the Nets.
Yep.
I think it's very reasonable.
Well, as soon as Durant and Kyrie leave, yeah.
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 That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, is Durant still playing in 2025?
No. No. I don't see him playing, either of them playing past this year. With the Nets.
Yeah. I'm not sure Durant's playing basketball in 2025.
Really?
Well, I mean, how long has he been in the league? He's been in the league way longer than you think.
Yeah, but he's still one of the best players in the league. I don't see that.
How old is Kevin Durant right now?
I don't see that.
How old is Kevin Durant?
Don't forget, he came out after his freshman year. Right. Kevin Durant is 33?
38.
Is he really?
No, he's 33.
Yeah.
I know. I was just trying to see if I could get you just for a second.
No, you didn't.
He's 33, but you'd be talking about a 36-year-old Durant by then.
Yeah. Tell he does. He'll stand out there and shoot. He can shoot. He can do that forever.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He can do that forever.
Yeah, it's probably true. It's a matter of if he wants to.
I got a question for you. Where does Baker end up, and what do they get for him?
So I wrote this down as one of the things I wanted to get to. This is a classic case of sharks in the water. And it's two things. Number one, NBA team, NFL teams not wanting to give Baker a new deal, that he truly has to prove it. But you say, man, how is Baker Mayfield not traded? He's a starting quarterback. Before he got hurt, these are all things I've heard. Well, before he got injured, they went to the playoffs, and he was actually pretty good. And, okay, that's fine. When a team knows you don't have the leverage, when a team knows you're stuck, they will let you bleed. The NFL teams will say, either cut him or you give us a draft pick and we'll take him.
Until somebody blinks.
Yeah,
until somebody says, okay, we want him.
Okay, is this any different than the Brock Osweiler situation?
Yes. Baker's a better player.
Baker's a better player. That's not what I'm talking about. Is it any different where the team...
That's the difference.
Where the team who has him has to move him.
Oh, no question.
I would argue that you could have actually kept Brock Osweiler and just hung on to him on the roster. They can't even keep him. The Browns are in a worse spot. They have to move him.
They have to move
him. And everyone knows him, so you don't have any... And I would say, yeah, the blink thing is fine, except for the fact that there's no teams that are desperate for Baker Mayfield.
Okay, so here's the deal, though. So what you're saying is that the Cleveland's going to have to give up a pick?
Yes.
No, somebody will give him a fifth or a you know what?
Cleveland's going to have to give up a third to offload his contract. That's already the talk.
I highly doubt that.
Somebody
will give him up a fourth or a fifth for him and take on $18 million.
$18 million is not horrible for a team. No one's doing it before the draft. They'll all wait and see what falls to the draft.
That's true, too.
Everyone will wait until after the draft, and maybe they'll give a late-round pick, or maybe they'll say, you know what, because we have to take on this amount of money, Because we'll have to see who has that much money.
It's only 1 year of 18, though, and there's plenty of people.
Why do you want to give any? Why do you want to? I guess for a 1 year rental, but that 1 year rental could turn into a very expensive player.
Yeah. Do you want that?
All right. So
does anybody covet? Does anybody covet Baker Mayfield?
It doesn't appear as though they do. Do you think if you knew you could have Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz, and the compensation was a third round pick? Okay, you didn't have to give two. If Washington had a choice between Baker and Carson Wentz, and you knew you had to give up a third-round pick, and that was it, who would you give up? What would you do?
I would take Baker.
The difference is Baker is more likely. Carson feels more. I would take Baker, too.
Yeah.
Carson feels like a guy that you can get out of a little, like you can get away from him. No, I don't think there's much of a difference. I think it's Baker versus Carson. Who would you take? Because you could see Carson Wentz becoming, oh, you know what? Let's give Carson a 2-year deal worth $42 million if you're Washington. Now, let's say he plays pretty well today. And Washington's, John, that's cheap.
No, no, I know. Well, cheap. Baker's cheap at 18.
Right. And so you say, well, Carson Wentz, I could see a scenario where Washington says, let's do a $42 million 2-year deal with Carson. In essence, we're not committing long term. And if we need to draft a quarterback at any point next year, we can draft quarterback. We just have him for one more year and then two if we want him. I could see that happening. With Baker Mayfield, this is what I've been predicting is going to happen. The money would get to a point now where quarterbacks, you're going to have teams fighting back against non-elite quarterbacks. So I say that I believe that Baker Mayfield will not bring back anything. I don't think they'll even hit a third. It's going to be fourth or later.
No, I agree.
And I think there is still a chance that Cleveland, if they get desperate to get rid of him before the draft, that they may have to give up a draft pick to unload him. Now, or maybe they give up.
Look at what did Matty Ice get?
Let's put this.
What did Matty Ice get? And you got him for a couple of years.
Yeah, you got a up a third for him, right?
Was it a third or fourth?
No. It was a third, right?
I don't believe.
Yeah.
I thought it was later in the third.
No, I think it was a third-round pick.
Anyway, Baker's not. Baker is worth less than that.
Yeah, 2022 third. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the whole deal. Ballard just screwed them. You got a third-round pick. But remember, I think you also got one of their picks, the Colts did. Anyway, the third-round pick from the Colts they're sending to the Falcons is their original third-rounder, number 82, is what they're getting. So they got the 82nd pick for Matt Ryan, and he's better than Baker Mayfield right now. Well, Baker actually might be better than Matt Ryan, but he's got a better reputation, at least. The vibe is better and stronger. Here's the concern. The Raiders right now are trying to get a deal done with Derek Carr. And Josh McDaniels saying, yeah, we're trying to find a sweet spot on a contract. And the agent for Derek Carr saying, yeah, trust me, NFL teams are always trying to find their sweet spot. He said, Tim Younger said, clubs are always going to do what's best for the team in every situation. Players, even quarterbacks, don't expect teams to do what is best for the player. Successful negotiations always end in a sweet spot. That said, our practice is to not comment publicly regarding ongoing negotiations. The article says Carr could earn close to $40 million per season, the going rate for quarterbacks after Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford recently signed deals. Do you believe that Derek Carr is in the neighborhood of... Now, I actually think you could make a case that Derek Carr is in the neighborhood of Dak Prescott. I know people have this vibe of who Dak Prescott is, but realistically, Derek Carr's not that far off. Derek's not in the same category as Matt Stafford.
No.
So the comment is... Well, the going rate, this is what I'm talking about. Teams are not okay with the quote-unquote going rate being $40 million. They're not unless you're an elite quarterback.
That was the Browns who did something stupid. All right, 713-780-3776. You've got any thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776 is the number. We got an hour left, and at the bottom of the hour, Paul being carded to talk about this NCAA tournament. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastain Ford, and I'm getting the Lightning. And if sign up and get the Lightning, the Ford F-150 Lightning, it is going to be fire, okay? That you don't have to put in. How, look at the prices of gas right now. And who knows when it's going down. How about getting that electric truck? I am so excited to get this thing. I am going to be ordering it. It's going to come. It will eventually come. It's obviously taken some time. Everything is taking some time. When you order from Chastang Ford, you are not paying over MSRP. You're just not. They are not going to be, it's not going to be over MSRP when you order at Chastang Ford. How about 0% financing on truck? It's truck month right now, and truck month is closing out. So hurry up and get 0% financing. No payments for 90 days. Get 0% for 60 months. No payments for 90 days. It's the best. It is just, it cannot be any better than what you're getting over at Chastang Ford. I love them. You will love them too. It's the perfect, perfect place to buy your vehicle because they're not going to add anything on. They never, doesn't matter what vehicle you get, they're not adding anything on. And oh, by the way, they also have pre-owned vehicles on the lot. If you need a car right away, you can go to Chastang Ford and get it because they got pre-owned on the lot certified. For the most part, 90% are certified at Chastang Ford. So you're looking for that car or truck. There's only one place to get it. In my mind, it's at Chastang Ford. On ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Just 5 minutes from downtown. My peeps at Chastang Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.